Well, tonight, the Office of the Special Prosecutor is pushing for a major overhaul of the current system regulating political party financing in Ghana. According to the Director of Strategy, Research and Communication at the OSP, Sami Daku, the current structure where the Electoral Commission plays the dual role of organizing elections and overseeing political party finances can amount to a potential conflict of interest. This proposed committee, the OSP says, would operate separately from the Electoral Commission and be tasked with monitoring the financial activities of political parties. The OSP wants the committee to include representatives from key institutions, including the Audit Service, the Office of the Special Prosecutor, and the Judiciary, with a judge potentially serving as its head. And that, according to the OSP, will help curb illicit financing of political parties. Listen to
the OSP, there are a few things that we may want to comment or bring about. The first one, it has to do with regulation of our financing, political party financing. We are of the opinion that the current system where the Electoral Commission is both a referee and a regulator must be abandoned. Ghana should explore the establishment of an independent political party finance audit committee, similar to that of Norway. So this committee would perform functions separately from the organization of the election, and we think that the body should consist of representatives from the Audit Service, the Office of the Special Prosecutor, and say the Judiciary. And this committee can be headed by a judge. And this committee will leverage on existing expertise, infrastructure, and operate within a dedicated budget so that you are not creating a new office. So it's more of a committee that will be tasked with the job of reviewing annual financial reports submitted by political parties, ensuring compliance with Ghana's Political Parties Act, and then imposing sanctions for violations and refers irregularities for criminal investigations as well as prosecution. But really, we also think that there is a cultural problem. Can you imagine if the Electoral Commission, in the performance of its regulatory work, decides to ban one of our two main dominant parties, NPP or NDC, ahead of the 2028 presidential elections? There is going to be chaos. So we also need to check our cultural difficulty with enforcement of such laws. Then our second recommendation has also been said. We think that the annual reports of the political parties should be published online for public scrutiny, thereby promoting transparency and accountability.
So that is the Director of Research and Communication, as well as Strategy at the Office of the Special Prosecutor. Meanwhile, CDD Ghana is attributing the opaque nature of campaign financing to a number of factors, including the no definitive period for campaigning, the abuse of incumbency, and the absence of a specific election campaign financing regulation to monitor the source of campaign funds that come in. William Asiedu Yeboah is with CDD Ghana.
Also very concerned about money that's coming from illicit sources. The CDD study put that in context. Vote by now is done in open. There's a law against it. And of course, the big one, unregulated financing of candidates. As you see, our current legal framework does not capture candidates. And of course, abuse of incumbency, and of course, the need for a reform. So the concerns have come not only from civil society, but from the political actors themselves. The MPs have been complaining, as you can see from this montage. Our colleague, friend, ABF Hussein, Mr. Progress, is no longer in parliament, but we recall a lot of the things that So the political actors are unanimous in their view that something has to be done, because some of them leave office and really go broke. Just to look at global framework, the UNCTAD, which Ghana ratified back in 2007, provides a certain framework. And you see where I've highlighted in black, really there must be transparency and that the funding of candidates and political parties must be open and transparent. Also, the African Union Convention on Preventing and Combating Corruption also makes this very interesting prohibition on funds acquired from illicit funds. As we go through the Ghana case, you would see that ours is very porous. In the Political Parties Act, for example, there is no express prohibition of those. So these are some of the areas there. TI, I will skip that, but just highlight a couple of them. Just when it comes to party financing, the accounts, I'm happy that the Electoral Commission is here. In terms of their reporting and all of that, you will see where there are some gaps in there.
So that is the CDD there with that. So the issue is about, I mean, how do we regulate political party financing in Ghana? We'll explore that. Acting Energies. Well, let me bring in the Mary Ada. She is the Executive Director for the Ghana Integrity Initiative. Grateful to you for joining us here, Mary Ada. Now, this is the situation we are facing, where it's difficult for you to properly regulate financing of parties because, as the OSP office is saying, the EC is playing both the referee role as well as regulating party finance. And there's a challenge there. How do we maneuver this challenge that is confronting us?
Thank you very much, Briggs. Thank and good evening to your listeners and viewers as well. Okay, so navigating the challenge, we have made proposals on what to happen. Remember that it's not just about regulating it as in the physical body or the institutional framework that exists. It also has to do with the law as it is. Currently, what we have, which is the Political Party Act 574, doesn't do justice to what we want to see when it comes to the political party financing issues or campaign financing issues in Ghana. And so for us, it's not just about moving or decoupling the space from the Electoral Commission and then giving it to an independent body. It is about clearly interrogating the gaps and weaknesses in the current law and then finding a way to remove the issues around opacity and then to remove those lacunas. For instance, you have issues around people who pay monies not regulated, and so you do not know who the individual is. We say it must be a Ghanaian, but then we do not follow that up. We also have a gap where the compliance would have to be to the party. And so usually the individuals who are the interested parties are not the focus of the compliance demands of the law. So you have the president who people do a lot of things for, give money. You have the presidential candidate, You also have the parliamentary candidate who receives a lot of donations which are not captured. These are some of the things we want to see captured. And also we have gifts that are not cash gifts, but could be quantified. This is not done. And then the sanction critically for us is what we should also be talking about, that we want to see a regime within which people put up these sanctions to ensure that people obey these sanctions to ensure that others would not want to infringe on the law as it would be. And so that's why we we are talking about. It's not about the institution. The OSC said that, but then the EC as well said no. But I think this is an open discussion we should all have.
So it means that it shouldn't just be about an institution, but the law regulating that particular responsibility must be well defined.
So it should be 360 degrees.
Okay.
The law well defined, the institutional architecture very perfectly set out, so that they do not have to say this particular institution is having a threefold mandate and it's not able to perform one or the other. It should be set out in such a way that it is fluid. And then for us as well as citizens, we should also be positioned in a way to be able to support that process of ensuring we monitoring, ensuring compliance, and ensuring that the fight against corruption in the arena of this space is dealt with.
So must it be an audit committee or probably a well-established institution?
So some of us have mentioned before that this an institution like the audit service could do a good job, because after all, the audit service has been asked many times to do special audits. So why don't we use them to do that? Setting up another institution for me is not tenable. We every time we find a challenge, the preferred solution is setting up a new institution. That is not tenable in this case. We already have institutions and we could manage to innovate and do a lot of different things with the audit service or even SRAJ. It doesn't matter which, but the problem, I think, the issue is that we need to ensure that there is compliance. And whoever does that, particularly for me, the audit service or the SRAJ or whoever, is doing a good job.
We are in the process to review the constitution. Should this be one of the focus where we take a strict look at, to look at decoupling one, getting the law succinctly written so that it, you know, the rules are defined properly?
So that is why this advocacy is more critical at this point. And we mentioned that this morning, that this is a process we should not let go, that we need clarity in our constitution, we need clarity in the legislative framework that regulates political party financing and to which campaign or political financing and campaign financing in this country. So the constitution, yes, is very key. That citizens must prefer the way to go. The constitution spells it out that we should regulate this. And remember, the constitution talks clearly in the directive principles of state policy also. So the fact that we should put in place measures as a state to fight corruption and the abuse of office. And so in whatever way we are doing this, the constitution also tells us in chapter 24 issues around codes of conduct, and now we are dealing with all these. So at this point, reflecting on what we have and looking back and also assessing what is done in other places, which is best practice, we could be perfecting our system to have a better process than what we have now.
Okay.
And that is why we, the coalition, are proposing that Ghana should have a say and be very clear as a matter of agency on our position on some of these things. How do we want to proceed? What exactly is it we want to do? We are ready to contribute our quota by asking government to do some of the things they should be doing, like supporting the movement of the resolution for the UNCAC in the COP's 11 coming November or so, and then also supporting the African Union processes by ensuring that there is in full compliance, because we currently in partial compliance with the law.
Okay. Do stay with me. Let me bring in the Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, Mustafa Gbande, who's joining us on the telephone lines now. Mustafa, grateful for joining us now. Why is this such a sensitive issue for political parties? Isn't it time where we look at how we can regulate how political party campaigns are funded.
Well, thank you very much. I think that, first of all, this is an attack, complete attack on political parties. It's the weakest thing in all of these matters, including corruption-related matters. I dare say the sources of a nation's corruption, Ghana's corruption, is not political parties or officers who hold political office. It is government relatives, people who go into government, and the systems that control government. Let's take the MPP elsewhere.
But doesn't it have a genesis? I'm also saying that doesn't it start from the campaigning where people of interest will come and fund campaign with the expectation that they will derive some benefit when that particular party is in power?
I'm saying political parties give birth to government. Individuals go into government, perpetuate fraud and corruption, and then political parties go into opposition, struggle to come back. How many political office holders have you seen been accused of corruption? Number two, if you are holding a political office or you are a political party and are appointed into government, it is not a political party that runs your mind. It is government system that runs. And so if you sit there and you do what is wrong, do we come back bastardize the political party when political parties are just vehicles to give power to form a government?
No, but Mustafa, don't you agree that the genesis of the problem is from the campaign where people of interest will put their money into the process?
Who told you that all the persons who are appointed into government are members of a political party or persons who have funded a political party? Who said so? Who told you that? It is not fact.
But is it not true that largely the people who are appointed into government are members of the political party?
We have seen pastors, lawyers being appointed into government, and they are worse. So the issue of corruption is about a weak system, a compromised system, lack of functionality of institutions of state. For any system to function, it starts from the government. When persons within government are seen and are committed, and something doesn't happen, it won't happen. It is not a political
I don't know where you're standing, but you're making good points, but your line keeps, going on and off. So I don't know if you can reposition yourself for me. I would appreciate it. Hello, Bandy. Okay. Let me bring in Haruna Muhammad. He is also the Deputy General Secretary of the NPP. Haruna, how do we tackle this? Isn't it time that we look at, as Marietta proposes, a strong legislation that clearly specifies what must be done in terms of regulating party financing?
Thank you very much. I will say good evening to your listeners and then my colleague, Deputy General Secretary, and Madam Mary Aulana. In fact, I was at a meeting. The political parties were invited. My boss had delegated me, Lawyer Justin Kodia Frimpong, to represent the MPP at the meeting at Fiesta Royal. I was there when the special prosecutor's rep made a statement. I must commend the organizers, Transparency International and CDG, for organizing this particular conference. The rationale has been explained by Madam Mary, and I think that all of us should focus on the rationale. And that is how to be able to fulfill the resolutions that have been passed in Article 7.3 of the UNCAC conference. And I believe that our conversation should be centered within that particular arena. But to the question that you have asked, I don't think that there is that room now, or we should be looking at putting out a legislation. What we should be looking at is to amend the current legislation to be fit for purpose. And why do I say so? If you look at the current legislation and you go into the Political Parties Act, which is Act 574, and you go to Section 23 and Section 24, it does not give clearly how political parties should be funded and how to keep corruption-related issues, or even the extent of it, they get resources into their force for campaigning. It talks about individuals, how individuals should be contributing, and how it should be Ghanaian whole, in terms of companies and businesses that will come to support political parties. So you ask yourself, the proposal that is made by the special prosecutor about forming a certain body to take away the regulatory function from the Electoral Commission. The Electoral Commission's function is driven from the Constitution of the Republic of Ghana. The functions of the Commission has nothing absolutely to do with political parties' financing. What the Electoral Commission do, that people see that they do regulatory function, is the matter of political parties, which are mandated by law to submit their audited accounts to the Electoral Commission as one of the fulfillment of the criteria of either their existence or continuous existence in terms of political parties' performance, or them to be able, or the inability of them to be able to contest for elections. So I think that properly there is no need for us to have a different legislation. We have to rather amend the current legislation to be fit for purpose, to reflect the campaign structure of political parties. Again, what I also view is that if you look at the current legislation, it does not say anything about presidential candidates and parliamentary candidates. It talks about political parties. Then you ask yourself, how do we fund political parties to be able to curb the issues of corruption? And I agree in part with my brother Mustafa Gwandi. Anytime they talk about corruption, people say political parties. Political parties are not corrupt. It is individuals that are corrupt. So if individuals are appointed into government and those persons decide to toe the line of amassing wealth, these are the individuals. What people forget to know is that government is different from political parties. Political parties forms the government. But when the government is formed, in terms of distinction, the political party's activities and its core mandate of administering the political party activities does not been administered by government.
Well, Aaron, I get your point, but isn't it true also that the whole thing about party campaign and how people put in money is also the genesis of this whole people trying to amass wealth to then pay for how much they've spent on the campaign?
And that is why I am saying that when it comes to corruption-related matters, then it's dealing with individuals, because there are other people who don't put so much in campaign because they believe that they are coming to serve. And when you look at it very critically, and that is why CDG and then Transparency International is bringing together other stakeholders to propose a doable approach in terms of how to handle that. For example, you can see a parliamentary candidate or presidential candidate running an election. Then somebody decides, an individual, a businessman decides to provide fuel or vehicles, even without the information or direct relation to the presidential or parliamentary candidate. So not everything that you see on a campaign that is provided by a parliamentary or presidential candidate, those are the eyes that we should be looking at. It is not about going to bring Auditor General and go and bring Special Prosecutor and go and bring a judge or the legislature. All these functions, I don't know why Special Prosecutor is belittling the functions that has been given to him. He has a prosecutorial powers.
But Haruna, the Constitution itself, I mean the law you referred to earlier, the Political Parties Act, it says that when you look at it, it is talking about, it says a firm or partnership or enterprise owned by a citizen or a company registered under the laws of the Republic, at least 75% of whose capital is owned by a citizen is for the purpose of this act citizen. Which, because it's saying that only a citizen may contribute in cash or in kind to fund a political party. So, I mean, that's the law. The law is talking about how you fund it. So isn't it the genesis? Huh? So that's the genesis, right? And if we want to find a solution.
The special prosecutor got it wrong. You just read Section 23 of the Political Parties Act.
Yes.
You see, what it says is that
Samuel Kojo Bruce, right?
Yeah, Bruce.
What he says is that if you have to support a political party in terms of cash or kind or whatever, you, if you are an individual, you, if you are a corporate institution, you must have an ownership of a maximum of 75% of the ownership must be Ghanaian.
That's true.
So what special prosecutors should focus on is that if there is a trail of a foreign company or an organization supporting a political party, then he should execute his prosecutor powers by going to do investigation as to whether that is true or false, but not to form a body, a constitutional body, to be able to do that. He already has the constitutional power, which has given him, per the laws that is enshrined in Special Prosecutors Act, to investigate and prosecute. So you don't need an additional constitutional body to do that, because you are already cloned to investigate. So look out for the nose.
Okay.
If it goes against that, then he does that. But not entirely to come out with the legislation to have three bodies to supersede such institutions of management. The Electoral Commission's mandate is clear, and it is bounded in law, and their independence is very
strong. So for you, the OSP should do that work, right? Should do it work.
The OSP should concentrate on the act that establishes the office of the special prosecutor.
Okay, all right. I'm grateful. Let me bring in Mustafa Gbande now. Mustafa, so...
Which is foreign.
So I'm grateful to you, Haruna.
And prosecute.
Let me bring in Mustafa Gbande. Mustafa, so, I mean, let's look at the way forward. What must happen?
I think that the conversation itself is misplaced in the first place, because, like my brother said, the special prosecutor has too much power. The systems must be up and doing. Anybody that goes into government and is corrupt, arrest the person, do a transparent process in the public interest, prosecute persons who are accused, who they are finding that they have done one thing wrong or the other. Majority of the persons who are often on the list of corruption are more of appointees than political office holders. And for me, we should not bastardize political parties who cannot themselves speak for themselves, because, you know, normally government is powerful in a political party. So therefore, when somebody goes into government and misconduct themselves, we should say that because of the political parties whose government is in power, we should blame the political party for it. It's not here or there. Look, let's allow institutions of state to function. Let's not politicize corruption-related matters.
Mm.
Let people go into government and behave well.
Okay.
Whether you are a businessman, whether you are a farmer, or you are a lawyer, public interest. You themselves. Let us make sure that we uphold the highest level of accountability and standard of public performance. And then we'll be good as a nation.
Okay.
We shouldn't be attacking the weakest link, which is the political party.
Mm.
We serve political parties. People go into government, misbehave, and steal money, and the political party should take the blame. No, no.
Okay. All right. Haruna Mustafa Gbande is Deputy General Secretary of the NDC. Earlier, you had Haruna Mohammed, who is also the Deputy General Secretary of the NPP. This has been Top Story, brought to you always by Telecel Connecting Energies. Time now for us to bring you Ghana Connect today with Papa Niashale. Papa, what's coming up?